The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bat.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings from the Rapids podcast studio at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, where we are wallowing amidst the glow of glory. Yes, the Colorado Rapids finally got their first road win of the season at Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo suffering their first home loss of 2017. It was the Rapids' first win in 10 attempts, so we'll look back and look ahead with interim head coach Steve Cook. With New York City FC in town this weekend for the second time in their history, we look back at the first meeting with the man who made his home MLS debut in that contest, Axel Schuberg. The U.S. women's national team play New Zealand this Friday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and there's a distinct Colorado flavor. We'll touch up on that and catch up with Marlon Hairston following his Facebook Live appearance, which was a good one earlier this week. First, though, a win and a shutout at BBVA Compass Stadium, something which took everyone by surprise.
Stefan Aigner. Aigner up over the top.
To the far post. Be careful. Oh, no.
Oh, my word.
It's unbelievable. Dominic Baggi has scored here, and the Rapids have gone up 1-0.
A wonderful ball in from Stefan Aigner. And has Dominic Baggi done the unthinkable?
The Rapids are a couple minutes away from stealing 3 points away from Houston Dynamo and ruining the party.
They are trying to do something that no one has done here. Shut out the Dynamo and win at BBVA Compass Stadium. This team has not won a road game all year long.
Glenn Davis, Richard Fleming, and I all on the call in some capacity last weekend. Richard Fleming joins me now. Long overdue, and nobody saw it coming.
No. I think, though, what we did see from that game last weekend, and we'll hear from Steve Cook a little bit later on, is a kind of a throwback to the Rapids of 2016. It was said on the night, I think it's worth repeating, that performance was what worked so well for them last season, something they'd kind of moved away from this year as they looked to become more attacking, more aggressive, and more dynamic. Unfortunately, as we now know, that was often at a detriment to the very defensive solidity which opposing teams had found so tough to break down, I think, in 2016. I'll admit this, I was a little concerned when we saw the lineup, and I thought, well, Jared Watts was playing in that defensive midfield role, and the only other time we'd seen him this season was against Portland. He'd managed 45 minutes here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and he'd looked out of sorts. He was taken off at half-time. But to be fair, I think he had one of the better games for the Rapids last weekend. He was energetic. He was disciplined in his positioning. And he contributed very well. I think he also complimented Michael Azira alongside him. I will say this communication, and I think with that organisation defensively, was better. It was better. I still don't think it was where we've seen it in 2016. And clearly that's an area where they'll look to continue to improve over the next seven games. But as you say, Marlon Hairston was on Facebook Live Q&A on Tuesday. He had this to say about 2016 into 2017. He then finally got to last weekend's win.
Last year, we were proud of ourselves and proud of the fans. You know, we had a great run. And, you know, we had a lot to do with that, but mainly it was the fans, you know. Last year, every time we played at home, we knew that teams were going to come in, and you know they were going to feel the altitude, and they were going to feel the pressure from the fans, and you know it was big for us. And you know this year, for the fans to come back and you know bring that same intensity, you know it was big. And you know from our performance on the field, we feel that you know we let ourselves down, you know individually, and you know the fans also. So you know we just want to close this season out on a high. You know it's as frustrating, you know, for us as it is for the fans. You know, we set high goals coming into the season, you know, for ourselves in preseason. You know, last year, you know, being able to be a part of that and enjoy that, you know, as much as we did, you know, we raised the bar coming into this year, you know, higher than we finished last year. You know, we wanted to bring another MLS Cup back here. We wanted to, you know, be supporters, Shield winners, and we for sure wanted to, you know, have a playoff spot, you know, at this time of year. And, you know, we haven't, you know, achieved any of those things up until this point. And, you know, like I said, we let ourselves down. You know, the fans have every right to be frustrated with us. And, you know, but at this point, it's just about, you know, doing everything that we can, you know, to finish the season on the right note. And, you know, we have, what, 6 or 7 games left to do that. And we're going to need the fans just as much, you know, to get that done as we need ourselves.
there were games that were close in the midst of this last month and a half, right? Mm-hmm. But to finally get that win, nice to come home and have a game here this weekend.
Yeah, that was big for us. You know, Houston's, they're a great team. You know, they're dynamic. They have, you know, great pace going forward. And, you know, that's a reason why they've been so successful at home this year and, you know, in the position that they're in the table. But for us to go there, you know, just bring back our identity, you know, that we had all of last season. You know, just be a tough team to break down, you know. For 90 minutes that game, you know, everybody was fighting for each other. And we wanted to go down there and bring back a result that we could have been proud of. And, you know, we were able to do that. And hopefully that can, you know, lead to another positive result here at home.
So Jordan Angeli there with the question. Back to last Saturday at O'Connor, and they've got to build on this. They have to build on the success from Houston. Still, the odds are stacked against them making the playoffs. So I know it's cliched, and we hear it from coaches and players all the time. It's one game at a time. Do what they can. Hope also that sides around them will slip up and other sides will do them favours. Seven games to go, four at home and three on the road. Now, ideally, the position they find themselves in at the moment, they want to haul themselves first off the foot of the standing. So they've got to catch Minnesota, then LA, RSL and San Jose are a little further ahead. But last weekend, we hope is the start of a late season revival, if nothing else. And I was going back and forth with a few fans after the game, and it was just nice to hear that bars were cheering and people were able to enjoy the success from Houston and celebrate a victory, because it has absolutely been well over, you know, long overdue.
I had someone ask me to tell Stefan Aigner that fans are excited that he is involved. And I said, I told him in two languages. Time for a break. We'll be back to the Rapids podcast in a moment.
The Colorado Rapids take on New York City FC on September 16th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Badgie, and he stinks like a bee.
Bring your whole family, no matter what the size, courtesy of the Coca-Cola Family Plan. Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke.
Would you believe it? His name is Alan Gordon, and he just loves scoring late.
Get your tickets now at coloradorapids.com.
Yes, the next home game is against New York City FC on Saturday, the day after the USA women's team tackle New Zealand here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and the day before the annual season ticket member Meet the Team party being held at the stadium after 2 years at Elitch's. Talking of the U.S. women's team, earlier this week, Jordan Angeli sat down with Colorado girls Lindsay Horan and Mallory Pugh.
First off, you guys have been home now for, 24 hours? What is one thing that you've been like, yes, we got to do this?
Seeing my family.
Seeing your family?
Yeah.
Did you go home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went home. And that was nice. Got to sleep in my own bed.
Aww.
Yeah. Which is always nice.
So is that your first time you've been home since the start of NWSL season?
No, I've come home a couple times.
A couple times during breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. How about you, Lynn?
I guess see my family. I'm going to see my mom tonight, which is really nice. And I guess just, like, being around Denver and being at home, it's a great feeling. So I don't think there's, like, anything that we have to do. Just being here is nice.
It's enough.
So does it feel, like a little release, like you can be yourself and you're comfortable in this environment? Are you showing your teammates around kind of downtown area?
Nope. People keep asking us where to go and we don't know.
I don't really know downtown that well.
She's a youngin.
Okay.
I mean, this area is like a little different for us, so we're kind of exploring.
Tina Dow wants to know, what U.S. game has been your favorite to play in? So we'll start here and then we'll go.
Honestly, I think we could both say it was so huge for us to be able to play in the Olympics, and nothing to take away from that. But speaking of, like, friendlies or anything, last year playing here, I think, was one of the coolest experiences of my life, being able to play in front of our home crowd and my family and friends.
And it was score a goal. Pretty good goal.
Even if I didn't do that, it was just... The atmosphere was insane, and I absolutely loved it.
I'd have to say probably the same. I mean, my friends, if you're watching, I know that you guys really don't know soccer well, but I think that just having them in the crowd and, like, seeing them, mm-hmm. and, like,
the
it was just...
you have? Just kidding.
was just so special, yeah. So probably the game last year.
There is Jordan Angeli, a former national team member herself, speaking with Mallory Pugh and Lindsay Horan. The USA versus New Zealand is Friday at Exporting Goods Park, an 8 p.m. start live on ESPN2. Followed Saturday by the Rapids home to New York City FC, the first home game since the James K. Polk administration. I mean, August 19th, and comes off the back of the 1-0 win at Houston Dynamo last Saturday. That was a first win and first points for interim head coach Steve Cook, who's been talking to his fellow Englishman, Richard Fleming.
Steve, so first points, first win, first road win. What was your immediate reaction on the final whistle?
My first reaction is that I'm really pleased with the players and proud of the work that they put in and the effort that they committed, not only in that game, but in the couple of weeks prior, because I think sometimes in this game you work hard on a daily basis, nobody really sees that, and on a game day you might not get the result that you'd like, and people often don't see the work that got put in, they just see the performance on the day. We had a couple of disappointing away results, and just really proud of the players and pleased with that they got some reward for their work. And I think sometimes in the game you get what you deserve, and I think on Saturday in Houston we got what we deserved.
People have been looking at that performance and the formation and the approach from the team, and there's a lot of people drawing similarities with 2016 and what worked in 2016 for the team. It was resolute, it sat solid defensively, it was stubborn, it broke up play, and it looked to hit teams on the break. You didn't think you were going to leave it till the 92nd minute, but are we seeing a reverting to 2016?
No, scoring the winner in the 92nd minute was definitely the plan, so we're glad we could do that. I understand the parallels, and you know, you go to places like Houston Dynamo and they're a very good team, and sometimes they put you on the back foot as well. But when you've got players like Marlon Hairston playing wide right and Josh Gatt playing wide left, you're a pretty attacking formation, you know. And I think Mo's been terrific in the 10 position, and Dominic Badji, as you know, has been our top goal scorer and lead forward all season. So I think sometimes for me the formations, they look good on a schematic, and people talk about those formations like they're set in stone. But you know, once the kickoff's come and gone, there really isn't a formation. And again, when you're playing teams like Houston, they're going to put you on the back foot a little bit. We did, I think, counter-attack very well out of you know, some of our defensive solidity that we did. But also I think it's more important to look forwards than to look back. So it's not really about looking back to 2016 and repeating anything like there. We have to look forwards as a club, and we have to say, right, what can we do to be in the best possible position to win games in the rest of 2017? And then obviously after that, we'll plan for 2018. But for me, it's pretty clear. I was delighted with the players and their performance, both from an attacking standpoint at moments and times. I think we had some real good quality, and certainly we found one moment of great quality. But I do think everything that you said about being resolute defensively is really important, not only for that game, but for every game. So, you know, it depends where you are on the field, how the formation sets up, and how you go about the game is all dependent upon many, many, many factors that you know, there'd be too many to count today. But again, in terms of the playing side, I thought they were terrific on the night, and I appreciate your kind words about their resolute, tough defensive mentality. And we actually found a way to score more goals than our opponents that day, so we did well in attack as well.
You must have had a pretty good view of Aigner's pass, because it was that side of the field. You must have almost been looking over his shoulder. Could you see as soon as it left his boot how good it was?
It was a great piece of play, because we actually defended a set piece, as I remember, and then we cleared the ball. Houston Dynamo got hold of the ball again and brought it back in again. Another cross came in. We cleared that one. Another cross came in. And I think it hit the head of Axel Schuberg, went to Marlon, who took up a very good attacking transition position, I thought, just outside the edge of the penalty area, who drove us forwards. And then Stefan Aigner did something really clever. He came out to the left-hand side from a central position, but almost pointed to Dylan Serna to throw him inside into the central channel, which definitely imbalanced the back four to some degree. And then when Stefan checked back onto his right foot, and you see Badji alone at the back post in a great position behind DeMarcus Beasley, you think, well, we might be onto something here. And the ball that Stefan played in was absolutely fantastic. I think it was pinpoint and really led Dominique towards the goal. And Dominic Badgie does what he can do, which is latch on the end of those things. And I thought it was a terrific finish. I think it's the finish is probably a little bit underestimated because it was a great ball in that led him forwards and a wonderful half volley from Dominic Badgie. And obviously we were delighted when that one hit the back of the net, but we knew we still had 4 or 5 minutes still to play.
It was, and in cricketing terms, I know you'll understand this, it was that corridor of uncertainty for the goalkeeper because it was just put into that channel. And if people look at the replay, Badgie just puts his hand up once and Eigner spotted it.
Yeah.
Is that the case? You know, obviously, it's a split second. It's a split second moment at the end of the game. Eigner's quality kind of shone through on that occasion. Can we see a little bit more from him?
There's no doubt. I mean, he, we see it in training. He's got quality. And as you saw in that game, his intelligence to make the right kind of movements and to pick out the right pass, his technical quality as well. He's certainly got the ability to be a creative player in this league. I think he did really well in the number 10 position, and which gave him a little bit of a freedom to come left and go right as well as occupy that central area. I think he really made a big difference in the game, I thought, in the last half an hour, and I think we were better in transition because of it. And again, that moment of quality, that's why players like him have played in the Bundesliga. They've been in the best leagues in the world because he's got some of that quality, and for that moment it definitely showed. And again, I think it was also a very good team goal because of the way we defended to get the ball into a good transition area, and then from there I think the runs were terrific, and again, good final ball and a great finish.
From a coaching standpoint and a man management standpoint, just give us a sense of how tough it is to manage players on the road and what, you know, downtime and sitting around and trying to prevent boredom, keeping them active. This is the end of a long run, 4 road games in a row. Just purely because of that, you must be delighted to be coming back home this weekend.
We're delighted to be coming back home for many reasons, and you're right, is that on the road, I think in MLS in particular, it's a very difficult league. A, because we're flying to a lot of different places, different field conditions, different climates, different hotels all the time, different everything. And we get very well looked after when we're on the road. And I think all of our staff do a great job of looking after the players, from the medical team, the sports performance team, the equipment staff do a terrific job of helping the players. But there's no doubt that it is difficult, especially when you go 4 out of 4 on the road and you've got a couple of losses in those four, and then you're trudging along almost at one point. But for our guys in particular, they've always been positive. They've always had a smile on their faces. They've never returned here coming back to training on a Monday morning and looking like they don't want to be at work. They've always been incredibly positive, incredibly energetic. And certainly while I've been here as interim head coach, they've put in the work throughout the week. And like I say, again, it was just nice to get that win on the road in the last road game so that we can come home and hopefully give our fans something to cheer about on Saturday.
We'll finish on that because it's New York City this coming weekend, and you know that they're want to get back on a winning run, having lost last weekend at home to Portland. But that's a small building block, wasn't it? Houston's a small building block, and it's now adding another one with this game this weekend.
Yeah, we have to go forward, and you might have heard me say this before. This is why in cars they have a small rearview mirror and a big windshield. You've got to look forwards. There's no point looking back at what we did last weekend. We've got to prepare for New York City. They're a very, very good team. Got real talent in a lot of different positions. A good blend of experience and young players with energy. Extremely well coached by one of the legends of the game. And we'll be looking forward to it. But I think, you know, you bring the result from Houston and you bring it home. Hopefully the fans can add a bit of life to that stadium and we really give them something to cheer on, because we do owe it to the fans. You know, they've stuck with us through thick and thin this season, most of it thin as well. And we do owe them a little bit of a performance at home. And hopefully we can bring some of that defensive solidity and some attacking flair and get more goals than our opponents that day.
There is Richard Fleming with Steve Cook. A lot of accents in that interview. Focus now shifting to the visit of New York City FC. And now,
more important dates to remember.
The Cardell Homes Community Spotlight, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the club. The 6th annual Give Sports Equipment Drive, presented by KeyBank, was held at Pepsi Center last Saturday. Through event co-founders, Cronky Sports Charities, and A Precious Child, the Give Sports program provides new and gently used sports equipment to disadvantaged and displaced children by giving them the opportunity to get involved in organized sports. Meanwhile, the Rapids are teaming up with 9 News and Wells Fargo to host a bilingual children's book drive in support of the Reach Out and Read Colorado program. Fans can donate both English and Spanish books ahead of Saturday's game with New York City FC at all gates and at Burgundy Boulevard. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids podcast, presented by Advocare. They're now in their third year in MLS and sitting second in all of MLS on 50 points. They've also managed 49 goals, bettered only by league-leading Toronto FC. NYCFC's third game of their debut season was a 0-0 draw at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on March 21, 2015. That game marked a first in Colorado for the team from the Big Apple and a first in Colorado for a Big Swede. Defender Axel Schuberg was a rookie, and his first home game in MLS placed him up against the threat of David Villa. He recalled that game in conversation with Richard Fleming.
Axel, take us back to, I think it was March the 21st, 2015, your first home game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And for a rookie, and I remember speaking to you in the lead-up, a rookie that was going to face David Villa. What do you remember about that game?
I remember being a bit nervous, but not, you know, it was my second game in MLS, first game at home, so there was a lot of circumstances that were exciting, and obviously as a new player and as a rookie in the league, I just tried to do my bit that game and focus on myself, you know, and trying to help shut down David Villa. And, you know, we played a very good defensive game that game. We didn't put the ball in the back of that, but 0-0, and as a defender, especially first game at home, you know, I was pretty pleased with that that performance, and you know, getting through that game as well as we did. So I'm excited to have them back again.
To take us through that from a sense of a tactical approach, because having just come out of college, and I know you played a level of the game that was, you know, most rookies hadn't been used to. You played up in Canada, and you obviously you'd been through the system in Sweden. But from a tactical approach, what did you kind of told yourself? I'm facing one of the most lethal strikers in the modern game.
I mean, you should have asked me that 2.5 years ago, Richard. But but at the time, and I still do. I look at what their tendencies are, and then I try to negate those as best I can. So for me, it's a mental game, and I try to get in their head, and I try to get them off kilter a little bit. Because I know these guys are world-class footballers when they are allowed the chance to be. So what I try to do as a defender is not allow them.
But as a rookie, and I know, and again, this is a conversation you and I have had in the past, is that your physical presence has given you that confidence just as a person. I mean, you're a big guy, yeah. you don't lack confidence, but going into that situation against a guy with such a reputation and you are a rookie, mm-hmm. mentally, how tough was it?
It was tough. You know, you're always nervous the first few games, especially as a rookie in the league. And it was hard, but, you know, I try to almost fight off those butterflies and all that nervousness. And, you know, just look at it for what it was. It was a game, and, you know, all I could do was put my best foot forward and do the things that I've been doing in training, do the things that I know prepares me for a game, and then just, you know, do my job on the field. It's not about reinventing the wheel, especially not when you're a rookie. You're not supposed to carry the team, or you're not expected to. So what I just try to do is focus on myself. You know, keep a good, solid mindset. And I've had that through the combine, because the combine is a lot of stressful games as well. You know, because you have college coaches all sitting there evaluating you, and it is a very mental and emotional draining thing, and you know, it's tough, and that's why a lot of people don't make it. But I just try to keep that same mindset of just doing my job, knowing that if I do, I'll perform well, and you know, trusting the guys next to me.
You got a foot injury in that game as well, didn't you? Which was that in a collision with Villa?
No, it was not all. I mean, that would be that's a fun side. No, I actually got my foot injury in the warm-ups. So I heard it was my under my foot. I can't remember what
it's. You still
called.
Played through it. You still played.
Plantar fascia. Yeah. It was plantar fascia. Yeah. So I felt it during the warm-ups, and it was bugging me the whole game. And but it was my first home game, second game of my rookie campaign. About to play David Villa in New York City at home. Of course I play through it.
So take us forward 2.5 years. How have you developed? I mean, going right back to that game, New York City are in town this weekend. How has your game developed? How have you grown as a player?
Well, I hope I've grown a lot. I've become much more comfortable on the field. I'm directing traffic more and the players around me. Trying to be a leader back there, and you know, I'm still trying to just do my job as well as I can, and then help the guys next to me a bit more than I was able to maybe in my rookie season, in my first few games. But yeah, I'm trying to be very vocal back there, and you know, a steady presence.
How much has that been almost, as I say, forced upon you? I mean, you seem the character that's happy to take that responsibility, but they seem to have lost some of the voices from 2016 and obviously early part of 2017. Is that a role that you're embracing, that you've had to take on?
Yeah, I mean, we lost some guys that were vocal, especially Sam, obviously, who was vocal on the field. I tried to be last year too and supplement that, because, you know, you always need guys. It doesn't just have to be the captain or the few older leaders. It needs to be everyone, really. So I've tried to embrace it along the way, and I think there's a natural time for everyone in their career to make that step and, you know, try to be the leader on the team. And I'm happy to do it. And I like talking on the field, and it's part of my game. That's part of makes me who I am as a player. So that's my job responsibility now.
So going into this game this weekend, first of all, the moments after the win against Houston, I imagine there were a number of emotions that were flowing over you as players, that the relief, that having got the first win on the road, having got the first win in a while, having got the win at the end of that road stretch, and then bringing it back here to Dick's Sporting Goods Park. How important was that, to get that win at that time, so that you're coming into this game on a bit of a crest of a wave?
I think it was very important. You know, for the group, we've had a tough stretch where we haven't played our best, but also when we played okay, results haven't gone our way. So when you get in a long, tough stretch, and we play a lot of games on the road, you know, it's very difficult as a group, but we were able to come together for the Houston game and really dig deep and, you know, work hard for each other. And then, you know, getting that goal at the end was... as you said, it was relief, you know, getting the goal and the win. So I think it was really important for our confidence going forward and to finish the season strong. And, you know, we're very happy to come back here at home and try to give the crowd something to be pleased about.
Incredibly, of the Rapids 18 on March 21st, 2015, just 4 survived today. Schuberg and Baji both started, plus unused subs Zach McMath and Jared Watts. It will also be a very different NYCFC that arrives this weekend also. Villa remains a doubt, having missed the last 2 games due to an adductor irritation sustained while on international duty with Spain. A chat with Dominic Baggi still to come, but first, parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Well, many, as we know from last week, we chatted with Marcelo Balboa. The U.S. men's national team, many people have been taking aim at them. Alexi Lalas singled out players and coaches last weekend, if we remember. But I think if there is truly a concern over the state of the senior men's side, then we can't ignore those further up the chain. Jurgen Klinsmann was heavily criticised, but... who not only appointed him, but then extended his deal. It's not an unhealthy approach to question the suits. Those that make these significant appointments ought not be without blame when the pointing of fingers come around. If the US men's soccer is in crisis, And I think the next few weeks may give us the answer, though I do think qualifying up to this point has been a struggle enough that a period of reflection is needed, whether the team goes to Russia or not. So if the team is deemed to be in crisis, then executives have got to shoulder some portion of the blame. Some in recent days, I would say, have been rather selective in their criticism, stopping short of casting their gaze to the men supposedly guiding the very game in this country. Now, Sunil Gulati, the president of US Soccer, has been at the helm during a wonderful period for the sport in the USA, but also at a time when the sport has grown worldwide. Just look now across the US, across North America, but the US in particular. Look at the amount of soccer now available to American audiences. Interest in the game has never been as high. There's more money flowing into the game, and as a result, I mean, most of that money comes from television, but as a result, the commercial spin-offs are evident. Even here in the US, and we've saw it with a very well-known supermarket chain, they're turning their dollars away from the previously, or you know, the traditional North American sports. They're diverting these to soccer. In other words, it's a crest of a wave that many are riding. Now, that said, if we're prepared to pat the suits on the back for the positive progress, then they can't be protected from forked tongues when things are deemed to be going wrong. Yes, these guys wield considerable power and exert a great deal of influence, but accountability cannot be exclusive to players and coaches. A shake-up of the sport, or a little nudging, if that's decided what is needed, has also got to include those at the very top, those in charge of strategy, budgets, staffing, from top to bottom in this country. We're not just talking about the senior men's game, all the way down to grassroots. They cannot be shielded amid cries of crisis. To do that is to protect those determining the very direction of this sport in the USA.
Well, now as always, well, almost always, we welcome Dylan Gannon back to the podcast for I'm not going to say it.
Gannon Fire.
Dylan is taking a look at arguably one of the under-the-radar players of 2017 for the men in Burgundy. Who is that?
Well, first of all, Connor, as always, well, almost always, I appreciate you welcoming me back.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good banter. It's hard to call this guy under the radar, but that's exactly what he is. Most fans of the respective MLS and other soccer teams wouldn't say their leader in goals and their leader in assists would go unnoticed. But to me and a lot of other people, Dominique Badji has been just that for a lot of the quote-unquote soccer experts out there.
They're not experts.
Well, I mean, compared to you and me, they are. Badji has quietly put together a 7-goal and 5-assist season, both of which are career highs for him. You could almost compare him to the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. He's always there, he's constantly a prowess that you have to watch, but still doesn't enjoy the hype that maybe others do.
And he's best friends with Greg Popovich. No, absolutely. One of those players, you know he's out there, or at least you better know he's out there. Otherwise, he'll beat you with his speed. But he may not be the first guy you think of when it comes to being your lead striker.
Right.
And lead is the very operative word here, because that's exactly what he has done this year. Throughout his career, he's been all over the place, but he always knows that number nine is where he wanted to be, and he really came into the season determined to make that spot his own. He wants to get to double-digit goals in a bad, bad way.
Absolutely, and it's kind of crazy to think about Dom's journey. Remember, he was drafted in the fourth round of the 2015 MLS Super Draft. Not first, not second, not third. Fourth round. Now, there are just a handful
Isn't
of...
Isn't that one done by phone, done by conference call?
Yeah.
The fourth round?
Yeah, third and fourth rounds are done by conference
They're
call.
They're out of the draft room at that point.
Absolutely. Now, there are just a handful of first-round picks who make it into MLS and have a successful career. That number goes down when you get into the second-round picks. Third-rounders, you're stretching it, and when you get down to the fourth round, you're either looking for a diamond in the rough or a few extra bodies for that preseason. Luckily for Dom and the Rapids, he was the former, and the rest is history. We sat down with him to talk about his journey thus far, how he thinks he's performed in 2017, and what the future has in store for him.
Dom, first of all, let's just break down that goal last weekend. How good did it feel to get that goal and to get that big win?
It was great. you know, breaking down the goal, Eigner made a great run. Cerna made a great run, too, that attracted defenders. Marley gave Eigner the ball, and he hit me a great ball, back post, and I did the easy part and finished it.
Now, for this season, you're leading the team in goals, you're leading the team in assists, but it still seems like you're flying under the radar. Is that kind of how you like to be seen?
yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of been, you know, the way my career has always been, you know, high school, college, and now the pros. But I'm happy because I have goals for myself that I intend to achieve. And, you know, whether or not I get recognition for them, it's not a big deal. Ultimately, I just want, you know, results and wins for us.
You always kind of said last year and in 2015 you wanted to kind of be that lead striker. This year you've done that. What has changed this year for you to have such a breakout season?
Since I've come into the league, I've gained a lot more confidence, and that's shown itself in my production on the field. You know, we've had great assistant coaches that have worked with me. You know, last year we had Spenny. This year we got Connor, and they've just instilled a lot of confidence in me. And when I'm out on the field now, you know, everything's slowing down for me. It's becoming a lot more instinctual than, you know, me having to overthink everything.
Now, you were talking about this earlier about, you know, going through high school, going through college. You always had a chip on your shoulder. Just talk about that draft process and the combine. You're a fourth-round pick, and, you know, there was a chance you might not have been drafted, but you really had a solid combine performance. Just talk about everything that went into that.
Yeah, that's crazy. It feels like it was forever ago. That was just a couple of years ago. Combine, draft, it's a very stressful period for any athlete, especially somebody who comes from a very small school like I did, Boston University, and you don't know where you're going to end up. You know, I did an okay showing there. You know, I had some good games, others that weren't so good, but ultimately you just don't know what's going to happen. So it's a lot of, you know, you're thinking a lot and overthinking everything. Eventually I was drafted in the fourth round, but I knew that wherever I ended up, even if it was a trial, I'd try my best, and I knew that I could make a roster. All I needed was that opportunity, and Colorado gave me that.
Talk a little bit more about that. I mean, as a fourth-round pick, most fourth-round picks don't get contracts. You're out there, I mean, literally fighting for a living. Talk about your thought process going through that when you thought about, you know, hey, I have a good chance at making this team.
Yeah, as a fourth-round pick, you know, you come into camp and, you know, you see all these people. It's pretty intimidating, you know, people that you've watched on TV, you know, people that are playing your position and that are, you know, maybe getting more reps or, you know, just kind of a little bit of favoritism, but it's just the way it is, and you just have to stay mentally strong. It's all mental, to be honest, because once you lose sight of that, it's going to get out of control. So I think I just kept level-headed, talked to the right people, you know, they kept me in it, and even if you had a bad day, it wasn't the end of the world. You just come back next day and just give it your best shot.
You've had a great career so far. Out of all of the goals you've scored, which is the most memorable, and which do you think was the best one?
Most memorable, it'll always have to be the first goal I scored in Dallas, my rookie season. Because the Rapids hadn't scored in a while, so it was nice to kind of get that curse off of us, and then we ended up scoring three more goals that game. So that was great. I think the best goal I've scored would definitely have to be the chip that I had against Portland at home.
Good deal. And finally, at the beginning of the season, you said you wanted to get 10 goals. You need three more in seven games to do that. What is it going to take to achieve that?
It's going to take a lot on my end because I know the chances are going to come, so I just need to be composed and be ready to take them when they're there. But also I know my teammates are rooting for me and they're going to help me out. And, you know, every day we practice, we're just trying to put me and the team in the best situation to score more goals.
You know, Connor, you could almost compare him to someone else you get to watch in person.
I could?
You could.
Oh.
Mr. Trevor Siemian.
Oh, I know him.
He's picked in the last round of his respective draft in 2015, NFL seventh round. Not a big American football person. He sits a year and learns from Peyton Manning. Baji essentially does the same by learning from Kevin Doyle while also spending some time in Charlotte with the Independents. Then came back, surprised some people by earning a starting role in 2016, and then in 2017 he really made it his own. The sky is really the limit for Dom, and now the question is, will he get that 10 goal?
He has potential to be something special here, I agree. As he said, he had the goal to find the back of the net 10 times this year. And he's at 7 right now with 7 games to go. New York City is, of course, one of the best teams in the league, but that back four can be a little shaky. I feel like every other person on this roster is injured at the moment. He scored in Vancouver last year, which is where the team will travel to next week. And then, of course, he added a 5th goal in Texas since becoming a pro, and we all know that the boys have Dallas coming up after the Whitecaps on that Wednesday. Then, as far as the schedule goes, add 3 straight at home before heading to Seattle for the final game of the season. And you can definitely say 10 goals is a possibility.
The opportunity is there for him to take it. Now the question is, will it happen? I think you're going to see him and the rest of the team come out with a different mentality for the rest of this season. No one really gave the team a chance last weekend in Houston, but this team had complete faith in each other to go out there and shock the MLS world. If you're able to beat the second best team in MLS on Saturday, then you're on a nice little win streak heading into Vancouver. And as we know, confidence is everything.
You know everything about that. You're a confident man.
Yeah, yeah, especially on the golf course. Once that confidence gone, the golf game's gone. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dom finish the season with his 10 goals. Then maybe add in another assist or two in there as well. But, you know, we'll find out. 7 more games to go. Thanks again, Connor. Looking forward to Saturday.
Me too, Dylan. Thank you very much. A reminder that the game is at 7 o'clock, which means that Rapids kickoff will be live on location here on Altitude Television at 6:30, with the actual kickoff coming just after the top of the hour. Radio coverage on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 starting at the top of the hour is 7 o'clock. Mark Bertinoli getting you going there. And if you want to listen in Spanish, La Invasora 87.7. As a reminder, you can also listen to our radio coverage anywhere in the world that has internet. Altitude950.com. You can stream every single game. Never miss a second of Colorado Rapids Soccer Live on location. Elsewhere, the U-12s, 13s, and 14s head to FC Boulder this Saturday as the new DA season continues. U14s are flying, 3 games, 3 wins, 18 goals for, and none against. Their game at Pleasant View is at 2 p.m., and that follows U13s at midday, U12s, and their two teams starting at 10 a.m. As always, thanks for your company. We'll see you here on Saturday for the visit of New York City FC, the Fighting David Villas. Or will he be here? We'll find out in the coming days. For Richard Fleming and Dylan Gannon, I'm Connor McGehee. The podcast returns next week. Goodbye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.